from down too long. The reading today is from Matthew chapter 10. Chapter 13, verses 10 to 16. And it's found on page 19 in your Bibles. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" Jesus answered, "The knowledge about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. For the person who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing will have taken away from him even the little he has. The reason I use parables in talking to them is that they look but do not see. They listen but do not hear or understand. So the prophecy of Isaiah applies to them. This people will listen and listen and will not understand. They will look and look but not see, because their minds are dull and they have stopped up their ears and closed their eyes. Otherwise, their eyes would see and their ears would hear and their minds would understand and they would turn to me, says God, and I will heal them. As for you, how fortunate you are. Your eyes see and your ears hear."
Thank you again, Nigel, for giving us your time and your heart. I'll just pray for you before you preach.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for Nigel and his and for Carol and for their servant hearts to you and for their ministry for you. We just pray for this morning that the words that you've given Nigel to share will be of you, through you, and for us to have ears to hear. We thank you for the chance to be here today. For them to be part of our family. We pray that he'd know that our warmth and our love to him and to them. And we just are blessed to have these guys here with us today. We pray as they go from here, they'd feel blessed, an increase in blessing in their ministry in Waitara, increase in what you've got for them for this season to come. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Johnny. I just want to use this mic here so that I can turn away. Is that coming through? Great. Yeah, it sounds like it's coming through. Better get my notes. It's great to be here with you all. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to give a message to you all. I'm an aspiring teacher and I've still got lots of growing to do in this ministry. But I relish any opportunity to be able to share a message. So I'll just check that the technology is working the way it should be. Thank you for the reading of Matthew 13. It should be coming up on the screen here. Ah, here we are. So I've just picked out some of the verses that were key verses in that section that was read. Jesus quoted from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and there's significant words which he quoted because he was talking about a hearing and a seeing that's not natural. It's a spiritual hearing and a spiritual seeing. And even the Apostle Paul, he also quoted the very same verses at the end of the book of Acts. So they are important verses that come out of the book of Isaiah. I've underlined the words, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull." That's the New King James Version. And I believe that the state of our hearts is highly significant when it comes to hearing the voice of God and seeing the aspects of his kingdom. The title of my message today is Ears to Hear. And we're not talking about natural ears, obviously. Jesus frequently challenged his followers. It's not moving, is it? Try again. Ah, there we are. With this statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It was often in the context of the parables, which carried some deep and often hidden meanings. And no doubt the parables went over the heads of a lot of people. They didn't really see what the deep truths were. But for those who had ears to hear, they could see these deep truths. He makes this statement here three times in the book of Matthew, and also in the Gospel of Mark three times, and twice in the Gospel of Luke. And so that's where my title comes from, the statement that Jesus made. May we have ears to hear his voice. God is a personal God, isn't he? And it's vitally important that we as Christians relate to him, that we have a living relationship. And hearing his voice is a vital part of that. Can anyone tell me the verse that tells us about the only thing that pleases God? Come on, Bible scholars. What's the one thing that pleases God? Faith. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The thing is, how do we get faith? It's talked about in Romans, and this is a verse, if it'll do its thing. Yes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. Now, who knows what the original Greek word is for the word that I've underlined there? Anyone like to take a guess? Sorry? Logos. It's a lot of people have thought it's logos, but if you have a look, it's not logos. So what would it be? The only other option is rhema. And rhema is the utterance from a living voice that is freshly spoken. So our faith is based on hearing the voice of God. And there's a progression here. It starts with hearing the voice of God. Okay. And then it requires for us to have the spiritual hearing, which leads on to a life of faith. So hearing the voice of God is pretty significant, isn't it? If you're a born-again believer, though, you've got the raw materials to hear the voice of God. Your spirit is alive. We're a little bit outside of the range of this. Ah, there we are. In chapter 10 of John, we read these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So again, we see how vital it is that for each one of us as followers of Christ, we need to have that capacity to spiritually hear his voice. Otherwise, we're unable to follow him. Now, the voice of God can be audible, but that tends to be more of a rarity than the still small voice of God. There's only one place where we read about the still small voice of God, and it was Elijah when he was hiding in the cave. And you remember there was a big wind and an earthquake and a fire that came through that were quite dramatic. But God wasn't in any of those. God was in that still small voice. So what is the still small voice? It's a delicate whispering of the voice of God. So delicate that it comes to us as thoughts. That's how it manifests. One characteristic of those thoughts is that they are unbidden. So it's like they come into our own line of thinking in an unexpected way. They kind of just drop in. They're profound. There's a sense that these thoughts didn't come from me. They came from God. They're also personal. They relate to the circumstances of our own life. And we know then that God is looking in upon our, on the window of our own life and giving us some direction. In my early years, next year I'll be 40 years having walked with the Lord, but in my early years I recognised the challenge and the need to hear the voice of God. So there was a lot of learning that was involved for myself. And there was an important test that God put me through when I was about 8 years old in the Lord. And that was when God called us, Carol and myself, onto the mission field. We had actually gone, in 1990, we'd gone to Hong Kong and we'd couriered some Bibles. And it was such an exciting event that it really impacted our hearts. And it caused both of us to come to the decision that I would sell my optometry business, because that's my pre-retirement line of work. I was an optometrist. So that we could be available to serve the Lord on the foreign mission field. It was a big step, but we just had a real sense that we didn't want to miss out on what God had for us. And that was in 1990 that the Lord really drew us into that, and it was within a matter of months, 1991, that the business was sold and we were free to go to the foreign mission field. A few months later, a friend of mine had approached me and he let me know that he'd come across a number of eye hospitals that were being opened up in Central Asia, in Pakistan, in Tajikistan, in Uzbekistan, and also in Mongolia. And so when I heard these, I thought, wow, I'm sure I could really be of great help with my background in these eye hospitals. And the one that really clicked with me was Uzbekistan. And it was being put together in Tashkent, the capital of Uzbekistan. But I really needed a strong yes or no from God, because it was a big decision. And so I prayed and fasted during 1991. And towards the end of the year, one day I was out just attending to my vegetable garden in the backyard, and these thoughts dropped into my spirit. They were unbidden. They were profound. And they were personal to me. And I sensed that this was God. And what he said to me was, I want you to watch the morning news on the TV for the last 7 weeks of the year. And if there's any news item that you see that relates to Uzbekistan, take it as an affirmative from me. That that's in my own words, but this is basically what God was conveying to me. So I started watching the morning news, but then there was a conflict within me. A conflict between faith on the one hand and unbelief on the other. Because Uzbekistan was such an unknown country. If you talk to anybody in the street, they'd never heard of the place. How is there going to be a news item on this country that was nobody knew about? So as the days advanced towards the end of the year, my level of unbelief kept going up and up. And I started to think, oh, come on, Nigel, you've just fabricated this. It was really your idea. God's not involved in this. But anyway, 5 days from the end of the year, I got up and watched the news, and there it was, the collapse of the Soviet Union. And there's a map came up on the TV screen, and it showed each of the 15 states, and there it was, Uzbekistan. So what seemed impossible to me, God knew what that was going to happen, and he'd led me along that path. And so I was convinced. It took a little while for Carol to be convinced, but it was about 8 months later. God spoke to Carol as well, and we were united, and God led us off and into the mission field, and we had 7 years in Uzbekistan. And it was a rich season in our life because we saw God move mountains and we saw the impossible take place. We've got a lot of testimony that relates to that. But it all started with hearing God's voice. So hearing God's voice is part of our guidance, but there's lots of other ways we can be led and guided by God. Obviously, reading the scriptures. God often enlightens verses and he guides us in that way. Dreams. Carol often has God speaking to her through dreams. He has done so for me occasionally, but a lot with Carol. And it's so good that the two of us can get guidance as a couple. Prophecy. That's another way that God can speak into our life and give us direction. Even angelic visitations are another way that God can speak. And God can also speak through our circumstances. The pastor that we used to have back in my earlier days, he had a term called green light guidance. And it meant basically if our circumstances are showing a green light, it's strong confirmation that God's sending us in that direction. There's one thing that does shut us down, though, in hearing God's voice that I want to touch on. It's hardness of heart. In Hebrews 3, verse 7 and onwards, it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Hardness of heart. It's a key to us that we avoid hardness of heart if we want to hear the voice of God. And what sort of things can bring on hardness of heart? Pride's a biggie. If we've got lots of pride in our heart, it's going to harden our heart. Bitterness, if we've got lots of animosity between ourselves and other people, it's going to be another aspect of hardness of heart that will restrict our ability to hear the voice of God. Rebellion, demonization, there's a whole list of different things that can bring a hardness of heart. So what's the opposite to hardness of heart? What will facilitate our ability to hear the voice of God? It's a purity of heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." I think we don't realize, I know I don't realize, how significant my heart is as to whether God's going to choose me for his purposes. We can look at lots of other aspects about our abilities or whatever, but it's the state of our heart that is so significant in God's sight as to whether he's going to pour his grace into our life. And how do we get to a place of having purity of heart? Psalm 51 carries an important verse, "A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise." We need to regularly be in a repentant state if God puts his finger on something in our life that we know is not right. We need to turn from it and have a contrition. About 15 years ago, I heard the still small voice of God, and this is what he said to me. "There's going to be a harvest of broken lives coming into the churches, looking for a God who can make them whole. And the church needs to ready itself for this harvest." A couple of years later, after hearing that, God led us into an organization called Elijah House. And this is an organization that trains people to do prayer ministry. And we've been running pre-ministry schools here in Taranaki every year since about 2006. And I saw in this organisation some real keys as to how we can help people to come to a place of deeper purity of heart. And as that happens, it then opens up the chance and possibility that they will have a greater sensitivity to hearing the voice of God. We're about to actually start some Elijah Haas schools in August, on the 4th of August, soon. We have four schools, in A, B, C and D, and we're running an A in August, followed on by B in September. As it says here, this is a harvest, and you remember the words of Jesus, the fields are white under harvest, but the labourers are few. And we recognise that we need more labourers. It's a bit of a specialist type harvest. It's not out there outside the church. This is a harvest within the church. People have come seeking to be made whole. Prayer ministry relies greatly on the Holy Spirit to expose the root causes of a person's brokenness. And then we access the power of the cross to restore that person with the right sort of prayers, the right renunciation and repentance. These schools are designed for people who have a heart to serve the body of Christ in this way. So in closing, I'd just like to say that hearing God's voice is becoming increasingly significant for all of us. You've probably noticed, like myself, that in the world out there, there's a lot of confusion. People don't know who to trust. Neither do they know what to believe. There's so much misinformation going on. And I believe it's because there's a rising tide of darkness, spiritual darkness, that's impacting our world. But there is a voice of pure truth that each one of us can access. It's impossible for God to lie. It's the only thing I know of where it states in Scripture of something that God can't do. It's an impossibility for him. So if you're hearing the still small voice of God, you're connecting with pure truth. And we so need to be in that place today when there's deception at every turn, to hear the voice of God so that he directs our path along the path that we know is based on truth. So thank you for this opportunity to just share my heart on something that I'm passionate about. I want to have a deeper sensitivity myself to hearing the voice of God, and I hope it does stir in your own hearts as well to go in that direction. You'll possibly see me next month on a second message which complements this one. It's titled Eyes to See. Today it was ears to hear. Next month it'll be eyes to see. So I'll look forward to seeing you again at that time. Great. I don't know what happens next, Richard.